Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening, for the life and health and strength you've given us, for the youngest member of Bethel, or the youngest visitor in Bethel that we've had for quite some time. I pray you bless Ellis and his daddy, Lord, as they join with us in fellowship. Please bless each of the heads that's bowed in your presence, Father. And I pray, Lord, not just for ourselves, but for all of our brethren, wherever they are, that you would give us this day our daily bread. Pray especially for John McMahon this evening, Lord, and his whole family, for John McGowan too, for Steve and for Pat McCall, for Link and Frank and Dr. Shane, Frank as he travels. Lord, please supply our needs. Give us what it is that we need, not necessarily what we want, but what we need. And Lord, please go before us and fight the battles that need to be fought in men's hearts and minds. Lord, we love you and thank you, and we ask all of these things, as well as our private prayer requests for Israel, for Ukraine and Russia, for the Trump family, and Lord, for America, for the Farage family, and for Great Britain, Lord. And we pray for your will to be done. We just love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's take one of these good old hymns out of the hymn book. We'll start with 205. 205 keeps me singing. I'm assuming this is the tune that I was singing there earlier on. Five verses. Let's...
Oh.
21. I want to scoot right the way to the back of our hymn selection this evening. In the same book, if you'd like to turn to 439, we'll stand if you're able and sing Count Your Blessings. 439, let's make a joyful song.
If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove, and thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your foul ground and sow not amongst thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. They tell ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves, let us go into the defence cities. Set up a standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and the great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste, void and unhandled. So this good you a sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. It shall come to pass at that day, saith the Lord, the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people, and Jerusalem, saying, ye shall have peace, whereas the sword reacheth unto the soul. At that time it shall be said to this people of Jerusalem, A dry wind of the high places in the wilderness toward the daughter of the people, not to be fanned nor to cleanse, even a full wind from those places consumed, of these places shall come unto me. But also will I give sentence against them. No, they shall come up as clouds, his chariot shall be as a whirlwind, his horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. O Jerusalem, wash thy heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? For a voice prayer from Dan, and publish affliction from Mount Ephraim. Make ye mention to the nations, go publish against Jerusalem, the watchers come from a far country, and give out their voice against the cities of Judah. As keepers on the field are they against her round about, because she hath been rebellious against me, saith the Lord. Thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is the wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. My bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because thou hast heard in my soul the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried. Whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in the moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish, and they have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and heavens, and they had no light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the mountains moved slightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful places of the wilderness, and all the cities are broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, The whole land shall be desolate, yet will I not make a full end? For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it. I have purposed it, and will not repent, nor will I turn back from it. Both they shall flee from the noise of the horsemen and barmen. They shall go into thickets and climb up on the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and all man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what will thou do? Thou thy clothest thyself with crimson, thou thy deckest thee with barnless gold, thou thy rentest thy face with painting, in vain shalt thou make thyself fair, lovers will despise thee, he will seek thy life. For I heard a voice as a woman in travail, in the anguish of her that bringeth forth her first child, the voice of the daughter's hand, that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, Woe is me now, for my soul is weary because of murderers. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Will, for the reading. Norman, for the reading this morning. I just want to remind everybody about the wee blue prayer lists. Make sure you grab one. If anybody has any prayer requests that they would like to add to this, now would be a good time to put up your hand and shout it out. If it doesn't get written down, it never happened. Yes, Chris.
Bernard's daughter-in-law Michelle is going for a very important interview. The 29th. And it's the same day as Richard passed away. And she has a lot going on that week. She has an eye operation. Then she has the anniversary, and then she has a very important, it's a special needs post, and it's a very important full-time one. So she needs a lot of prayer up to now, up to then.
Well, please, it's hard to believe that that's a year ago. A year ago that Monica's mom's passed away as well.
Yesterday she says, I don't know how I'll feel in the very day. that very day. She said, I don't know how I feel in the interview. And I said, we'll be in our prayer.
I'm sure she will be fine, one way or the other. Someone full of beans back there, will they?
What?
Is he okay?
I'm sure, because she knows I'm school.
Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Monica says I'm well used to talking over the top of people. Is there anything else that anybody would like to add to the prayer list?
Yes. You know, Sharon?
Yes.
You know, opposite me. Mm-hmm. Her friend has lost Roy. Her friend has been ill. And has... I don't want to say too much, really, but her friend has been ill and just needs a lot of prayer at the moment. She told me last week, she's a lot of prayer at the moment.
Okay.
Glenda?
What?
Glenda?
Do you know?
I've heard.
We don't need to know the details. The Lord knows what
her
things
girl.
Are.
Her girl.
We'll certainly be praying for her.
So she needs a lot of prayer right now, very urgent. Apart from that,
apart from all the things that are going wrong, everything is going right. I'm not making little. Yes, what?
How did I work with everything which was okay? We get her in tea.
Do we have? We don't have her down anywhere, do we?
No.
Hannah would take the right job. Pray about that. Anybody got anything else? Great job. Well, we'll certainly be thinking about this. We'll stop for a wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue on. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we indeed thank you, Father, for your many promises and offers to come before you at any time of the day or night. And Lord, I just pray for the prayer requests that have come up. For Will's co-worker Hannah, for Sharon's friend, you know all the situation there, and for Beryl's daughter-in-law, Michelle, I pray, Lord, for as she goes for this job and deals with anniversaries and things that's going on. You know, Lord, and we pray for your good hand upon her. We pray also, Lord, for Israel at this time, that you would continue to bless and protect them and give them victory after victory. I pray, Lord, please, regardless of whose feelings are hurt or whichever countries have set themselves against them, Lord, that they would suffer the defeat that they so richly deserve. And we do indeed pray for the up-and-coming American elections and for our own country's state, Lord, and that that you would, in no uncertain terms, speak to men and women in power right the way across the world, Lord, no matter what country they're in, or what language they speak, or what culture they've adopted, and Lord, that you would convict them so greatly about doing the right thing. I thank you, Lord, that you're always there to listen to our prayers, and your promise is that if we just tell you all our heart, that you will give us the peace that passeth all understanding. And I pray, Lord, that we would tell you all our heart, but we know there's nothing left from you, and we do indeed pray you, Father, please, that you would answer our prayer requests in the right way, in the way that you see fit to be answered. Not that we want, but that your will would be done. Thank you for our many answered prayers in the past, and we thank the Lord that we can resort to you at any time. Please bless this time in your house and in your presence, and Lord, I pray it would be good to be in the house of the Lord. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's take our hymn books again, the wee one this time, and turn to number 8. I was looking at number 9. Christ the Saviour of Sinners. This one is to the tune of Charles Blessings. So let's remain seated as we sing hymn number 8, Christ the Saviour of Sinners.
I'm just a sailor, I'll sail.
before we open up our Bibles. This one is 103 in the big book. 103 is Under His Wings. It's not so familiar to us. I think it's probably a recent edition in the last year or so. But
Will, I haven't yet.
Thank you, Will. It might be longer than a year then. Thank you, Will and Monica, for your joint effort. Amen. Under His Wings, let's stand as we sing Under His Wings and make a joyful noise. Amen. Which verse that we're looking at. Amos chapter 8. Let's read. Thus hath the Lord God shown unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place, and they shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell all our corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feasts into mourning, and your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every hair. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. Anyone guess the verses? What's our text this evening? It's verse number 11. And we're speaking on the subject of a feast or famine this evening. We'll have another wee prayer. Well, if you would be so good as to lead us, and then we'll get going.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, thank you for having us out, for a day of rest, Lord, for a day of through your communication to us, Lord, through the servants and through the witnesses and through every good thing you've given us, and especially Lord, Jesus Christ, down in custody of your servants, and for you to bring us safely into your house this night, Lord. Give us a blessing, Lord, and shed forth thy wisdom, Lord, thy good news, Lord, and the gospel, Lord, through Mark, Lord, and touch us, for Lord, and make our lives and our souls more in tune with thee, and bring us more to thy service, fully honored, fully glory, Lord. Let's each day may deserve to end tonight, Lord. These family that is represented, Lord, may be a blessing upon us, Lord, even up towards us, but also for Christ centered churches throughout the world, Lord, even those that have had churches already, and those that have yet to come, Lord, with the missionaries, with the evangelists, the pastors, ministers, and whatever, teachers as well, Lord, bless them mightily and powerfully, give them power in these dark days, Lord, and Lord, the people may not want of thy knowledge, Lord, and Lord, say so mightily and powerfully, Lord, with remember the pastors and the ministers we pray for, Lord. Remember the calls that he has asked us to visit. Also, Mark Bradfield and his family as well, Lord. With them as well, Lord. With also the Christian charities as well, Lord. The kids were school. Remember the children we supported, Lord. Remember Matthias, Easter, Isaiah, and Matthias, Lord. With them and keep them safe. With those children, Lord, as they're absolutely now, Lord. See the souls, find the prophet there. They're also their friends and relatives as well, and after as well, Lord. Give Mark and touch the Spirit, Lord. Offer Michelle's go for a job interview. Keep her safe. Give the words to stay in the lodge. We're to remember us, Lord. We're for to give our blessing as well, Lord, and our family as well, Lord. We also give us, Lord, and may our minds be stayed upon this message tonight, Lord. And give us a message that we remember and pass it through to Lord Christ and the week before as well, Lord. Glory, honor, glory, glory for Jesus Christ again. Yeah.
Thank you, Will. Amen. You don't hear much preaching from the book of Amos from the minor prophets in these days. Many people want to hear about the good news of the gospel. And we do need to hear about the good news of the gospel, but we also need to be aware of the troubles that are forecast in the gospel. And here we actually have Amos reaching from 2,500 years ago, right up until today and tomorrow, and to the 21 judgments even that are mentioned in the book of Revelation. It is absolutely amazing. It was talk about the sun being darkened and people's hearts failing them for fear, and the word of God being removed from everywhere. And maybe we don't notice it so much in this little conservative corner of the world, but we stopped being conservative whenever we had abortion and gay marriage foisted on us there just a few short years ago, although they seem like an awful lot longer. There's a lot of things that are mentioned here that Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 24. And the one, of course, that we are most interested in is in verse number 11, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." Unfortunately, we are all old enough to know what it was like 30, 40, and most of us 50 years ago, whenever we went to Sunday school, we went to our ordinary schools, and every morning there was a reading from the Word of God, there was a couple of hymns sung, and there might have been, I don't know what he ever read, it might have been a devotional that he read out of, and everybody was in assembly, and everybody sang the old hymns, and everybody took part. I think I even remember, it might have been one Sikh child that was in the school, but everybody stood in, and there were no complaints about it being a Christian service, there were no complaints about there being roast pork in the dinner, there was none of that nonsense. It was a Christian country. If you're in the country, you abide by the rules of the country. But now, that old tap and rot that was started in America about the separation from church and state has pervaded even the schools, the law courts, even churches are afraid to stand up and speak out and say what needs to be said. And the simple reason for it all is that there is a famine in the land. Now, you and I may not know it, but if you have your eyes opened, you will understand that there is a famine in this land of bread, of meat and vegetables. And one that was brought very much home to me was just over the period of, I think, was it 6 months? How the cost of 5 litres of extra virgin olive oil went up from £32 to over £50. What did you say it was?
£57
for 5 litres of extra virgin olive oil. There is a famine in the land. And there is of food and water, but there is also, and probably more critically, a famine in the land of the Word of God. Now, I am going to have to tip my cap to Google, because I put into Google, what are the effects of famine? And I was directed to a few different places on the internet. I would just like to read these out. I don't think there's any political slant in any of these, and I am sure that you will agree with most of them. I'm just going to read it. It says, famine robs people of their dignity, equality, and in some cases, their lives. People die in famines. We have long known that exposure to nutritional stress and famine can lead to long-term health consequences, including type 2 diabetes, schizophrenia, and hypertension, and that some of these effects may actually pass from generation to generation. Researchers focused on individuals born before 1949 and obtained a sample of over 123,000 individuals. They found that malnutrition in utero cause the most severe physical consequences, such as increased risk of diabetes, cardiovascular disease, obesity later in life, as well as muscular skeletal deficiencies and audio impairment. For school-age children and adolescents exposed to severe famine, we found increased resilience to the effects of malnutrition on physical health. However, we did find that those age groups faced more negative socioeconomic impacts. The researchers also looked at gender differences and found that males exposed to malnutrition in utero show stronger negative consequences across a wider array of health conditions than their female peers. We also found important gender differences in socioeconomic outcomes. In other words, it's harder for them to make their way in life compared to their similarly exposed female peers. Males show substantially larger reductions in educational attainment resulting from famine exposure. Interestingly, the differences are especially pronounced if the exposure occurred from childhood and adolescence. Famine is far more than just widespread hunger. The impacts of famine are incredibly serious and include high infant mortality and long-term social and political turmoil. We have long known that exposure to nutritional stress and famine can lead to long-term health consequences. And we mentioned schizophrenia, diabetes, and hypertension, and that some of these effects may pass from generation to generation. We now know that more than 60 years later, this historic famine continues to exacerbate tuberculosis transmission as well, one of the world's most intractable global infectious diseases. Exposure to famine can lead to decreased immune function, lower vaccine efficacy, increased likelihood of latent tuberculosis infections, progressing to active disease, and higher risk of complications and death in active TB cases. What is more, health risks resulting from exposure to famine may be passed down through generations as a result of both biological changes, such as, and I don't know what this is, such as methylation of certain regions of DNA. In other words, a lack of food affects the very core of your being and the ability of your body to properly repair and regenerate cells. And social processes, such as learned behaviours or more frequent contacts with family members at high risk of infection. The children who do survive will live with consequences for the rest of their lives. They are at risk of stunted growth, greater risk of dying from future illnesses. They also tend to have a higher risk of having underweight or premature children, passing on these consequences to future generations. And that is what a lack of proper food will do. You would not have to wait very long for an actual physical famine to cause trouble in any country. They used to say that a man was only 3 paychecks from being homeless. That if you didn't pay your mortgage or your rent for 3 months, that you could quite possibly be homeless. But any town, any city in the world is only 1 or maybe 2 days of no food away from complete and utter anarchy. And that's what physical famine, you would know if there was a famine and people were starting to suffer from it. People would be knocking on your door. Oh, I know that such and such a person is a big pantry. They have stuff and tins out in the garage because I have seen it. Or they have freezers full of food. I have seen it. We can go to them and we can ask them for some food. And you might well decide to give them some food and being a good neighbour and help them out. But it wouldn't take very long for your food to be gone as well. Because word would get out. People would still suffer from the effects of famine. And you would know it within short order. I can guarantee you little ones like Ellis would know it with one missed bottle feed or one missed meal. Those wee bellies, when they rumble real loud, and little children, they are not short in letting their mummies and daddies know exactly what's up with them. And all the things that we read there are the real, honest to goodness, and studied for 6 decades or more effects of famine on the people that suffered the famine and their children and grandchildren after. That's what the lack of food does to us personally, to the people around and about us, and all of the children physically. And whenever it starts affecting us physically, it starts affecting us mentally. And there's nothing like an empty belly to force someone to do something that they would normally not do, like break into a house and kill someone for the food that they're holding in their hand. And just as a lack of food would do that to us physically and even mentally and personally in society and over generations, so does the lack of spiritual food. You think about all of the things that the Bible teaches against. Does anyone remember the Ten Commandments? I'm not doing them in any particular order. There's murders. There's thefts. There's lies. There's immorality. There's paganism. There's blasphemy. There's profanity. There's child abuse. There's abortion. There's drug use. There's the mistreatment and the disrespect of parents. And there's the constant envy and lust after the things that other people have. There's the love of money. And money, to a certain extent, bridges a little bit of the gap. And there's a love of power and the desire to have that over people. And there's no accountability or responsibility involved. And most times people are very blind to it. These are all the lowest form of behaviour that mankind can have. And honestly, if it wasn't for the fact that I have nearly 6 decades of experience, and some of you have 7, and maybe even 8, we would not see that. You think of a 20-year-old that has known nothing but the way things are. But you think then of someone, well, my age, nearly 60 years old, and I can look back and remember the day when a Mars bar cost 8p. That's how old I am. I remember when a bag of crisps cost 5p. And then when somebody said, a Mars bar is now 60p. In what, 50 years, the price of a Mars bar has increased by 1,000%. We sort of expect that. And most people wouldn't notice until you see the effects. The famine of the word of God in the land has been going on for decades. It started out with somebody objecting to, oh, I'm an atheist and I object to my little Johnny having to sit in on the RE classes in the school. Or I object to my little Jane having to sit in an assembly where you sing those hymns and you do a reading from the Bible. And someone raises a stink and then their child's out, and then some other child says the same thing. And before you know it, the assembly's cancelled. In the RE class, you're only allowed to talk. You have to talk about all religions. The children don't learn the Ten Commandments in Sunday school anymore. And there's certainly very little, by the way, of preaching of it in the churches. And we have landed in the days that Timothy foresaw, these exact things, where people's behavior is the way it is because there are no scriptures set on them by the Word of God. In fact, there's a little verse in the New Testament that speaks to the way Christians behave. And it says, because of iniquity, the love of many should grow cold. Because even Christians are nominally just tipping their cap in the direction of God, but going the same way as everybody else, so as they don't stand out or rock the boat. Now, all of those things are happening now in this world, and we can watch them on TV. We may even experience them whenever we are out and about. We can see them in the shops. We see things happening from across the world and on the internet. And it is the very basis of behavior. In verse number 12, it accurately describes what people do. When God isn't preached, when salvation is not mentioned or offered to people, there's a huge gap in people's lives. It's like their whole raison d'etre is gone. I don't know what life is all about, is a common question. A frustration that they don't actually understand. I'll give you an example today. When two young people walk behind me and say, "You're doing a good job." I looked around and they smiled at me and said, "You're doing a good job." I said, "Thank you." He says, "We do the same at the Guild Hall some Saturdays." I says, "Good for you." And I got their names, Jacob and Esther, and we exchanged names. They said, "Say a prayer for us and I'll be saying a prayer for you." And then there was one man, and he mentioned about the Lord talking about our Father in heaven and us as children, but he also said to the scribes and the Pharisees how they were the children of their father, the devil, a liar and a murderer from the beginning. He says, "I take great exception that you shouldn't be saying that. It's not in the Bible." I said, "It's in the King James Bible." "Oh, it's not right. You're doing that wrong." There's always someone that comes up and tells me they're doing it wrong. As a fellow says, "I like the way I'm doing it better than the way you're not doing it." But that poor man doesn't know whether he's coming or going, and he's frustrated at not having Christ. But he can't point a finger at what's wrong, because nobody told him that God loved him and provided a salvation for him. Nobody opened the Word of God to him as a child and just read out of the King James. They were reading out of some poison pen letter written by Westcott and Hort, two Christ rejectors and God haters that have led millions to hell. The authors of the NIV and other such perversions of the Word of God. It has taken decades to the point that our base behavior has become normal. And the very things that should be promoted and protected in society are now legislated against by governments, the family. Do you know it is more financially viable for a husband and wife to be separated and be collecting benefits? They can get more benefits from the government. For little children to become unwed mothers because the government will give them a house and a bed and a kitchen and a cooker and a fridge and internet and phones and all that stuff. Whenever you go to preach the gospel, the very thing that made Britain great back in the day, "Oh, you can't be doing that, you'll be fined if you hand out gospel tracts." But handing out gospel tracts is not littering. "Yeah, but we find them on the road after." That's not me that's doing that. Are you going to legislate against McDonald's handing out brown paper bags? I wish you would, because our road would clear up overnight. Are you going to legislate against Coke and their stupid plastic bottles? Because they're up and down the McBoy Road. Oh no, but we're going to legislate against the gospel. We're going to legislate against you praying and quietly into yourself in public. We're going to legislate against you praying for mothers, expectant mothers, considering butchering their little children and having the parts used in some experiment somewhere, like, say, a COVID injection. These are the days we live in, when it's assumed proper for parents, for children to disrespect their parents. That's normal. For children to dictate terms to their parents. I can imagine me doing that. I remember seeing was a wee short on YouTube many moons ago, where there was this wee girl who was just standing saying, "And I want this and I want that," and then all of a sudden the screen goes black and it fades back in again, and there's her mother saying, "Now it's okay, dear. You'll remember not to be talking to me like that again," as she comes back to consciousness again. us. All of the things that we are seeing today that are our main problems today are because of the famine of God's word and the full counsel of it being spread, not just in churches, but a good place to start, in homes and in schools. We live in the days where wrong is praised and glorified, and right is made fun of and legislated against. Remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah 5? Woe unto ye that call evil good and good evil bad, woe unto ye that call evil good and good evil, that give sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. Woe unto you. But these are the very days. There is a famine and it's eating people alive. Unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember the hunger strikers. Does anyone remember them on TV? And I remember hearing about the effects of starvation, of famine, about their organs starting to fail, about them going blind, teeth starting to fall out. All of those things happen in famines in the worst cases. And it's maybe less than a month before that starts happening. You've heard what happens when you don't get vitamin C. You get scurvy and your teeth start to fall out. Your gums recede and your teeth start to fall out. It is so very important that we have balanced physical food. That only sorts out this part of us. What about the bit that sorts out me? The bit, me, that's going to live forever. And the me that's going to live forever in hell, in the lake of fire, or in heaven. What about that bit? That bit needs to be fed too. That bit needs to know that it's loved by God, that God gave his life on the cross of Calvary. That bit needs to know that there are higher standards to be achieved in this world, that there's a cleaner life to be lived. I was speaking to my brother about a little situation that had arisen, and he came across this young fella that was claimed to be a Christian but was dating a Roman Catholic girl. And they were in the process of having a conversation, and the wee girl let loose with an expletive, and the young fella was surprised. My brother was surprised. But this was just normal for the wee girl. And the question was asked, what about the wee girl's parents? Oh, they talk like that all the time. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says about true religion, pure religion, the religion of Jesus Christ. If any man claim to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, that man's religion is vain. That's what it says. The tongue, what does the Bible say about the tongue? It is an unruly evil. It says, with one we bless God, and with the same tongue we curse men and all the things around about us. We need the word of God. We need to hear it preached. We need to hear it praised. We need to have it memorized and jammed into our heads. We need to surround ourselves with it in the same way that young children surround themselves with posters of their favourite pop stars and movie stars. We need to have gospel verse. Goodness, I know Isaiah 40 and 31 because of a poster in the men's bathrooms, on the door of the men's bathrooms. And that has been a great help to me. What's the solution for a famine? It's normally to supply food. But you can't just give someone that's been starving for weeks a big steak dinner because their stomach is. You might try it. Norman, you're not starving, man. You can't give them a steak dinner. You couldn't give them a feed of chips and fried onion rings. And I'm not giving away the menu for next Saturday, don't worry. You start them with milk. Possibly even the watered-down milk. You start with the milk of the gospel. Do you know what the milk of the gospel is? It's easily digested. That's God's love for his creation. God's sacrifice for his creation. God's work for his creation. And how it's free to you. That's the milk of the word. The stuff that will save you, that will lift you, that will bring a bit of joy and contentment and security to your life. Just like a mother's milk does for a little child. It's satisfying. Until there comes a time when that little baby is just not getting any, there's no sticking power. And it needs, maybe, does anyone remember getting rusks in warm milk? I used to love the rusks. I don't ever remember getting them, but I know my little brothers did, because I used to eat some out of their bowl, and I loved the rusks. And that's like bread in warm milk. And that little bit of extra carbohydrate fills those little bellies and keeps them going a little bit longer. And what's the next thing they get? They get the same as everybody else, but they get it all minced up and ground up into a paste, and then they eat it. And sometimes there's a bit of throwing up because their wee belly's maybe not quite used to it. But as soon as they start getting their teeth into the meat and potatoes of the Word, as soon as they start understanding about how Jesus keeps you in the palm of his hand and nothing that we can do can take us out, as soon as they understand that the prophecies in the Bible are there so that we can look at the Bible and look at the news and say, this book was finished 2,000 years ago and it's describing what's going on in the news, we can say, hey, God's great. I can trust God with everything. And they grow and they go and they tell people and they stand up and they praise God and they don't mind telling their friends about Jesus. All of those things that Christians do. Or you get someone like me, believe it or not, I used to be very, very shy. That was about 25 years ago. Whenever I read the verse in John 10, 27, 28, and 29 where Jesus says, I have you in the palm of my hand, and no man can pluck you out, I stopped being shy. You grow and you stand on your own two feet and you do stuff. And the stuff that you do for God doesn't just help you. It helps the people around you and society in general. And people grow up regardless of their physical shortcomings or their abilities or their talents. People grow up better with Christ. Did you know for all the religions that are out there, Bible-believing Christianity is the only one that gives everybody across the board a fair shake? If you're a Muslim, it's your job to go out and kill the dogs, the Gentiles. Sorry, not the Gentiles, the Jews and the Christians. Commanded to do that. In fact, you're told the best way to get to your heaven is to go there with the blood of people that you've killed on your hands in jihad. Did you know one of the Hindu sects, the Thuggies, they worship the goddess of death, Kali, with the ritual strangulation and murder of strangers? You don't ever want to go visiting the Church of Kali, okay, in case you end up as one of the main points of worship in the church. That's the Muslim and Hindu religions. The Catholic Church has always had the knives out for Christians. You say, as a Christian, I believe by faith that I am saved. You are anathema in the Catholic Church. In the Presbyterian Church, you have no choice. But the King James Bible says it is up to you whether you get saved or not, because it is you that will face the consequences, or it is you that will have the blessing. It is up to you. Methodist Church, they're a bit, you can get saved, but you might lose it, but they don't tell you how, and there's no mention of how to get it back. Charismatic churches, you're saved as long as you feel good, and you can wave your hands a lot, that's good, so you're good on a Sunday night, but you feel awful on a Sunday morning, or a Monday morning, so you're probably going to hell. The Jehovah's Witness, Jesus didn't die for your sins. He only had a faint on a pole. The Mormons believe Jesus was the half-brother of the devil. Well, I tell you what the Bible says, that Jesus created the devil as an archangel and he was perfect. It is only the Word of God that gives that change, that makes a person a new creature. And until people hear that, they will only ever be that old creature. I think it's in Galatians where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit being a new creature, being love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith. Just before that, it gives a list of the baser instincts and characteristics of love of lost souls, and it's not pleasant. There is a famine in the land of the Word of God, and the only solution is to bring it to the hungry and the starving and the needy, the Word of God, in whatever form or fashion you can. Whether it's a gospel tract, a word in their ear, a typed word or two on the internet, that is the call of the man that gave everything on the cross of Calvary to each and every one of us, to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And I don't know about you, whenever I got married, I was just over 12 stone. And Monica is a very loving and dutiful wife. She made me fresh soda bread every other day. And I went up to nearly 13 stone. And I had to hold my breath in to fit into my 34 waist, 31 length trousers. And I had to subject myself to a little bit of a famine to get back into my clothes. I think I got down to about 12 and a half stone. I have since, forget about sepsis and all that there, I ended up about 11.9, and I've only gone up maybe 3 or 4 pounds since. That's a diet. It's not a famine. If you've ever had a famine, you'll know all about it, and you'll be only too glad when it's done. But if you ever have a feast, sometimes there's such a thing as eating so much. You ever know, like after a good Christmas dinner, and you think, I'm never going to eat again. I'm not going to eat until the new year, definitely. There's no such thing like that about the Word of God. You might get tired reading the Word of God, but you'll never be done reading the Word of God. If you cultivate a love for the God of the Bible, the man that gave his life on the cross of Calvary for you, his name is the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. You will never lose interest in the Word of God. Years ago, I know I've shared this with you a few times, but it always comes back to me. I was in my late teens. I used to work in my uncle's hotel. I was finishing my work at 5, at maybe 6 or 7 o'clock, because Alien was coming on the TV. And I wanted to see it in colour. And we only had a black and white TV at the house. And I was all set to sit down at 8 o'clock and watch Alien in colour on the big TV in the pub in the lounge. And my dad said, we're going. I said, but, I want to see Alien in colour. Says, we're going. Come on, hop into the car. And we got home and I was a bit disappointed. Well, I was a lot disappointed. And lo and behold, my dad had got a colour TV for the house and I got to watch it, strangely enough, on a Sunday night in the house in colour. Anybody that's old enough to remember black and white TVs and colour TVs knows the difference. And then you know the difference of going to 1080p and even, what is it, 4K now? It's just a whole different world whenever you can look at the TV screen and actually see the pores on the actor's skin. It's a whole different world. That is what the Word of God will do for you as a Christian. It'll give you the world in colour. It'll give you, the sound will be, instead of just things being a hubbub, the world will be alive. And it won't be a famine anymore. It'll be a feast. It'll be a joy. Instead of it being almost the end of another day, I have to go to bed and get up and do it all in the morning. There's a beautiful sunset. That's amazing. I used to take pictures of them and store them as my wallpaper in the windows. Some of the sunsets are just amazing. Being a Christian and walking with God will just open your eyes to everything, to the many blessings that God sends our way. And that's what God wants for us. That is what we need. Anybody that refuses, oh, I don't need that, I don't want that, I only feel bad whenever I hear about that. That's like someone whose car has the wee engine light come up. That means something's wrong with your car, or something's about to go very wrong with your car. You just get a wee bit of tape, and they put the tape over the dashboard. I don't want to listen to that anymore. I don't want any of your bad news. Says, but your car's going to blow up when you're doing 90 miles an hour, well, 70 miles an hour down the motorway. Well, I don't care. I just don't want to see that warning light. That is what God gives us in our conscience and the conviction of the Holy Spirit to every soul. It lets us know we have a problem so that we don't have to suffer from the famine of God's word in our lives. I know even years ago, when all the shops closed on the Sunday, and I'll be done after this, not everybody was saved. They weren't. But everybody was aware that there was a God that was preached about. Everybody knew the Ten Commandments. Everybody respected their mummies and daddies. And there was much more law by way of law abiding in the day than there is now. Why? Because God was preached, and whether people got saved or not, they knew there was a God. And there were times whenever things happened in people's lives, and people knew better than to say anything because it seemed like divine intervention. There's none of that now. Joe Public doesn't know the first thing about Jesus Christ, except to use the name above all names that will save any soul, to curse and to damn people to hell. And that's not the way it should be. Do not skimp or go on a diet when it comes to maintaining the part of you the world doesn't see, your soul. In the endless ages of eternity, that is the most important thing. Your soul and where it goes. Second most important thing is what you get to do with God here and now, you and Him together. So keep in the Word of God. Keep praying. Keep reading and studying. Thanking God for all that He's done. And whenever He taps you on the shoulder and says, you can do that, do it. Just do it for the crack. Do it to show the world, the flesh and the devil. Do you know what? I'm up here and my knees are trembling and my teeth are chattering, but I'm going to do it, because I don't like being told I can't do it by you. Just do it this time. That's all He's worth. Anyway, I'm going to stop before I ramble on any further. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. And we'll sing a song. I'll take a suggestion for a closing hymn, if somebody has one. Did anybody pick a hymn that we didn't sing? I've only got one that, what did he do? That's the one that Will had. Has anybody got a hymn that we didn't sing, or does anybody want? 1, 2, 3. Pardon?
56.
Sounds good to me. When we all get to heaven, let's stand as we sing 56 in the big book, when we all get to heaven.
Thank you.
attention, and Ellis did very well. He did very, very well. Some of the bigger folks can't even stick me for an hour. Amen. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Will, if you would, brother, do the honours for us.
Yeah, Father, thank you for the service. Thank you for the message given to Mark. Lord, just close up my heart and pray just to have half of the spirit of the Lord's sword and of thy, we remember thy love and see Christ shed his blood on the cross. Say us from our sins. When we talk to all people of Jesus, love, Lord, and his story, Lord, and also that the famine in this land may be revoked, Lord, and people may be saved and start off with the pure mug of the gospel, Lord, and be saved and sanctified and justified and adopted into the house of the family of God. See, so many powerfully. Most of all, we thank and praise thee, Lord, and glorify, may we praise thy great holy name above every other, Lord. Lord, we ask us to go to home to safety, Lord, just join in mercy, Lord. Help a beer for our families as we join our families, Lord. And Lord, pray for them as well. Save our family members that maybe have passed or lost, Lord. Save my name, heart, Lord. And prepare us for a new week, Lord. May it be Christ-centered. And may it be truly in line with thy word and thy will for our lives. For thy honor, for thy glory, for thy Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit. Amen.